Welcome to the NerdLink Podcast.
They're making it out like this stupid sham thing was going to be super limited. I hope it stays up all night, and then something else goes up, and then it stays up all night, and everybody wastes their money. That's what I'm hoping for.
I bought 5 shams.
If this were live, it would be funny, because then you'd be like, yeah, I just bought 20, and then it would make everybody else go crazy, and they'll be stuck with, 20 shams.
Old Crooked Boob, as I called her.
I love Crooked Boobs. They're so awesome.
Have you seen a picture of her, though?
Yeah, it's, it looks like a farce set of tits on, one of those stupid spoof movies.
Yeah.
Some chick would walk in and her nipples would be in, 80 degrees apart, pointing in 80 degree different direction, and she wouldn't notice.
Yeah.
It looks absolutely terrible.
Yep, Nico really wants it.
I think Sham could be cool, but neither version have been all that great. Wetworks did a cool custom on one already, and it looks awesome.
Yeah.
And, 100 times better than the 2 versions that they've actually put out.
Yeah.
But that's how it goes. But I did get I got my Caesars today, and they're awesome.
Are they?
Yeah, I think they're pretty awesome. And I got my TK or TQ Queenie today, too, and she's pretty cool.
I'm supposed to get mine tomorrow.
They keep, adjusting the female body. I know they adjusted it even more for the replacements for the vanilla pods. So I don't know if the rest of them are going to be fixed, but her legs seem super, super long. I think somebody's probably brought that up already.
I was looking at, there was a picture of it, and it looked almost like she was anorexic or something. Like, the legs are so long, they look like they're toothpicks.
Yeah, I mean, the TQs have always looked sort of like that, but her legs are super long now. But I think that's version 2.0, and I think they've already started putting out 3.0, so I think they've made some changes because it looked sort of funky. But while they're fixing the legs, the tits get all screwed up, so they need to concentrate on the whole body.
How hard can it be to make a body that looks right? You would think you could kind of do that out of the gate if you've been making toys for, 4 years now?
Yeah, the original ones were fine, except for the joints didn't... the range of motion was really low. And so I don't know how they decided to fix that, but fucked up a bunch of other stuff. You know, they're changing too many variables all at once. They should have just stuck with extending the range of motion and nothing, but they messed a bunch of other stuff up, so I don't know what they're doing. I mean, you think they could have just copied a Hot Toys body or whoever, some other company that makes 1/6 figures, and they could have gotten it right right away, but no, they didn't. But anyway.
Oh, well. So what else is going on?
Well, I didn't know if I was going to make it to the podcast because printing a poster, but then I also have, maybe you guys have some input on this, I have another situation going on where a couple nights ago I discovered a family of kittens that live in my parking deck.
Okay.
But the thing is, they live underneath the edge of it on the outside on this elevated plateau. So the only way you can get onto this plateau is to go out this emergency exit, and then it's literally 12 feet off the ground. So I have to get up on top of a ladder and then climb onto the top of it. And they live in this hole under the edge of the parking deck that is sort of washed away. So if you get anywhere near them, they just run into the hole.
Okay.
And I'm trying to figure out, Amanda and I want to catch them so that we can get them spayed and neutered and then possibly keep one or two of them. But I can't fucking figure out how to catch them. Anytime, the hole isn't just a little hole where you could just plug it. It's a 10-foot wide gap that's underneath this, like the lip of the bottom of the parking deck, and like they can get underneath, out of reach, anywhere along this 10-foot like gap. And other than making like an Elmer Fudd trap, like where you just put an upside down box with like a stick underneath it with some food. Other than that, I can't figure out how to catch them.
Can't you just like put out like a bowl of milk, and when they come to drink the milk, grab them?
Throw a net on them.
Well, I mean, I put out a I put out a thing of food, and they like, and I mean, they didn't come out. I had to wait like a couple hours till it got dark, a little bit darker, and then I came back and they were out. They were like investigating it, like they didn't even know if it was edible. So they're totally wild. I don't know if anybody's ever fed them, because like I said, this plateau is super inaccessible. I guess it's sort of good for them because they can't get off it. Like they're not gonna, they can't go run into traffic or anything, so they can't get off of this thing. Like the mom has to jump up through the bars of the parking deck to get out, and it's like a, it's probably like a 4-foot jump for the cat. The kittens aren't going anywhere, but and you get anywhere near them, they just run in the hole. Like,
and you want to keep these cats?
Well, I was, at first I was sort of in the opinion that just, they seem okay, just leave them. Yeah. But everybody I've talked to seems to think that if you just leave them, they're going to either die, or if they survive, that they're just going to end up, you know, probably getting knocked up and creating a more stray cats. So, Amanda's worried that they're going to, that their mom may have abandoned them and they're going to starve or something. So we just want to sort of rescue them. I mean, you basically use the word capture, but I feel so bad about saying I'm going to capture them, but you sort of, we just want to catch them and then, you know, make sure they get their shots, and then, probably keep one or two of them and see if we can get somebody, or take them to the shelter to see if we can get the other ones adopted. But, I can't figure out how to catch them. I'm probably going to make an upside down box trap after the podcast and see if that works.
Throw a Pokeball at them.
I wish it were that easy. But, I mean, it sounds so simple just to make, put a little, put another thing of food out. They crushed that first can of food after I left. So they probably know, they know what it is now. Put a put another thing of food out there underneath the box, and I'll just have to hide. I'll like have this string in, going into the parking deck where I can see them, and just pull it when they're underneath it. And that's all I got. That's all
you
I
should,
got.
You should dress it. You should dress up in camouflage with like bushes on you and stuff, and trees and sticks. And
no, the sticks and bushes would make too much noise, and then they'd be scared of the bush. They didn't even have to know it's a person, and they'd still run away. Anyway.
How many of them are there?
There's five. There's five kittens.
And what about, so, what about taking food, putting on a bowl, but every so every day or something, like start putting it further and further away?
So I thought of that.
So then you have more time to then capture them.
Yeah, I thought about that too, but earlier today I saw another dude in our building.
Yeah.
Like looking over the, because you can see him from a bunch of different places in our complex. It's, I just happened to see the mom when I was parking a couple nights ago, but I found out you can really see him from a bunch of places. So, they're super cute and I love cats. So the fact that, I've discovered them, I sort of call them mine at this point already. And so I'm worried that somebody else is going to try and catch them. So I'm trying to catch them as soon as possible. that sounds so stupid.
No, it's, I'm a huge cat lover, so yeah.
I don't like cats.
I grew up with cats. I haven't had one of my own since I moved out of my parents' house. My ex had two of them, but when we broke up, she took them, and I've already sort of fallen in love with them. So I want to make sure that they're safe and healthy, and I would be really sad if somebody else caught them, and I just didn't know what happened to them. But there's that. So right before I got here, I decided that I'm going to have to rethink my approach. So I just bailed. I figured nobody, if I can't catch them, I consider myself a pretty resourceful person. And if I can't catch them, I'm pretty sure other people are going to need a little bit more time to catch them as well. So
I'd have to see a picture of the situation of where you're at and what you have to do to really make any good suggestions.
Yeah, I know. It's very difficult to describe it.
Can you get like a catcher's net and like put it under and like if they come out and they fall into the net?
No, there's nowhere for them to fall. Am I going to, well, unless I dig like a, I don't even know what to call that trap where you like sticks over it and cover it in leaves and stuff and you fall into it and there's usually spikes at the bottom, but instead of spikes, it's just like a pillow. Is that what you're suggesting? Like, I don't know what to call it. Like a deck.
I guess I thought you said something like they were like 12 feet in the air or something like that.
No, the, okay. So, to explain a little bit better, my parking deck, it backs right up to the back of a Walmart, and so where the second level parking deck is, which is the bottom, that plateau is sort of level with the base of the parking deck, but then that drops down another 12 feet to the parking lot or the loading dock backside of this Walmart. So it's where the cats are. Somebody vacuuming?
No, it's a motorcycle.
Oh, okay. It sounded like a vacuum. So, imagine this. There's the parking lot.
Here's a vacuum.
It looks like a vacuum.
Oh, no.
Suck up the cats. Oh.
So, there's the back parking lot of Walmart. You go up 12 feet. It's the plateau where the cats are. And then you go up 4 feet. And that's where the fence is that I can look out from the parking deck.
Mm-hmm.
So this plateau, it's probably like 150 feet long by like 20 feet wide. So it's this huge like drainage area that's like if you're working at Walmart in the back, you can't see on top of this thing.
Mm.
You can only see it from like it's four floors. I live on the fourth floor, so you can see the cats from the fourth floor. Down on this like plateau above the Walmart parking lot. Anyway, it's so like you can't pounce on them because you'd have to already be up there. And if you're up there, they see you or they hear you make a noise, and then they just stay in the hole. So
maybe I'll have to creep out there.
I think the
and throw a net on them.
Yeah, I'm thinking the box will probably have better aim just falling instead of me chucking a net. I don't have a net. I have a box, though, and a strip.
You got to be like a somewhat heavy box.
I mean, these are tiny cats. Like, I mean,
oh, they are.
Yeah, they're kittens.
Oh.
Yeah, they're like probably like 4 or 5 weeks old.
Oh, okay. Are they all kittens?
Well, there's five kittens. Yeah, they're all the same age, and then there's a mom that I haven't seen around in a day or two. She's probably been by, but I don't think she can fit in the hole. So, I mean, Amanda thinks that maybe she abandoned him, but I don't know enough about stray cats to know if the mom really sticks around long or not. But yeah, anyway, yeah. I'm gonna
get a playlist of all songs with cat in it, and then go just go wait outside,
serenade them from the Walmart parking lot.
Yes.
And maybe they'll just fall in love with me and jump down into like my shirt, right? Maybe. Is that what you're saying?
Maybe.
Yeah.
Or your pocket.
It's a plan B. It's a plan B. I'll write it down.
Yeah. Yeah,
like, now I got to figure out where all these cat songs are coming from.
Well, there's all... we got Cat Scratch Fever.
And yeah. Then you Nugent, I don't know if Nugent's going to do very much to serenade a kitten.
Maybe some tough. Cat Stevens.
What about that The Cat Came Back the Very Next Day song?
Do that too.
That, so ever since I saw these cats, I can't get that stupid song out of my head. I just remember from like Tiny Toons or something.
I remember that from elementary school.
Yeah. That cat sucked. You couldn't ever get rid of it.
Yeah.
Anyway, enough of the cats. I'll catch them and I'll give you guys an update. But
did you use your Pokedex to figure out their strengths and weaknesses?
I'm pretty sure their only strength is running.
Okay.
And hiding. Other than that, they're pretty frail.
Well, that sucks. Well, good luck with the cats.
Yeah, thanks. Anyway, I'm here.
So in the realm of toys and prints and stuff, what's been going on?
I mean, we haven't even talked Pain and Dreams dropping. And so that was kind of the big toy drop. I think
that's been that's definitely something I want. I didn't pick it up yet, though.
Oh, you stop? Oh, are you going to try to get it?
I don't know what I'm going to do. That's why I'm hoping it doesn't sell for. It'll start selling for less than retail when it comes out.
Oh, don't even get me started on that.
Holy crap. Is it sold out yet?
No,
it's friends and family only has gone up and come down, and so now just the regular sale is up.
Okay.
So what it is?
There's just been this like drama on the course thread where there's one guy who keeps going, "I'm not buying it because I'm just gonna wait like a year until the price drops like way low because there's no way this will ever sell for more than retail," and like everyone else is like, "Hello, you're stupid." It's like somehow the first 1/3 scale release in 5 years, edition of 200, an iconic figure is somehow just going to magically drop in price because everyone who gets one wants to sell it at a loss because, that's what we like to do with our toys.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
It's just been kind of like, okay, it's been a fun little bait.
Ever since Pain and Dreams came out at the Core Show where I saw it, I wanted it in production toy. But I think it's bad timing, at least for me, because we got San Diego Comic-Con next month. We thought there was going to be a Core Show at the end of June, but that got changed until November. So, and now the friends and family has been pulled down. So I'm hoping either there's some more available for right around retail when it gets released, or there's another colorway.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. I don't have a huge course collection, and so I never contemplated getting it, but it is pretty awesome. Plus, yeah. I got 5 weeks to the wedding, so I don't need to be dropping. How much was it? Like $600 bucks?
$750.
Yeah, I don't have $750 to be dropping on a toy right now. I don't think that would go very well.
Yeah.
Hey, that's another thing. Jeff, I know you think that the price is fair. I think, in my opinion, it's a little high, but I don't know what goes into production and production costs and stuff and how much popularity plays into what they can charge for a 1/3 scale figure. But for me, it's kind of high right now.
Does that include shipping?
It includes round shipping.
I imagine that box is going to have to be even a greater piece of manufacturing than the actual toy to make sure it doesn't break. So
right.
Just the fact, I bet 200 of that is just to pay for the packaging.
Yeah, I think the figure and the bed are they're combined, aren't they? Yeah, they're attached, aren't they, Jeff?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, so that's a big problem right there. I mean, a little bit of torquing and that thing is going to break right off.
That's what I'm hoping, that there's not a lot of issues when it comes to them getting shipped, that a lot of breakage. Because I don't see, from looking at the toy, I didn't see exactly where it's kind of attached that would make it a significant attachment that it wouldn't, if jostled around or thrown around, which I'm sure will happen when it's shipped, that it won't easily break. But who knows?
The problem with shipping is, I realize this through making customs, is that the way they ship stuff in the trucks and in the vehicles, it just gets super hot inside the box.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's probably worse for customs, but you paint something and then it gets all hot inside the box and it sort of starts to stick to stuff and perspire, and then it gets on the other end and stuff's all messed up. With vinyl, I don't think the paint necessarily does that, but it starts to, its rigid nature is definitely not, as it should be in shipping. And that's why I think stuff gets messed up or comes deformed, or it just has, plus a change in temperature. If it gets really cold, it gets really hot, it gets really cold, it messes stuff up. Because, if you go on a plane, I imagine it's super cold on the plane, in like a shipping plane, and then it goes on a FedEx truck in Florida, and it's like 115 degrees in that truck, and it just, it's something you can't control.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's just unfortunate. I mean, I guess no matter how well you package something, there's always going to be just those natural, dangers that
you can't do anything about. It sucks.
Yep. So, I mean, it's...
Just hope it. Hope it. They do the best they can, and it shows up in pristine nature.
Right. Yeah, I think they've learned and shipped enough stuff now that, I mean, there's probably, you know, I think we saw a learning curve with some of their shipping. I mean, even with Paws, you know, having the first one shipped with foam letters and a lot of breakage, and they started doing them encased in foam, but then there was rubbing against the cardboard boxes, which pulled the paint off, to the point where raw Paws now are, I mean...
It's like a puzzle.
You know, totally cocooned in, you know, foam, and there's enough foam between the paw and the box, so there's not rubbing.
Yeah.
And it's like, I mean, you just can really see their evolution of packaging and learning. So, I mean, you know, they know more than any of us can speculate, you know, how much it's going to cost and how much it's going to take and what the best way is to ship that. So, you know, it's one of those things where...
Well, I hope they ship it. I don't think, but they haven't really made anything this large.
Right.
You never know what's happened. I mean, from the last one that I've had that I had issues was with the Oop and the Awe. They had the friends and family card right in the back, and it started rubbing the paint off the back of the head of mine.
Yep.
But
then like with Chrome, they changed the placement of the card, so then that was solved. So, you know, I think they, you know, it's a learning thing, and it's they make mistakes, and then they learn, and they do the next one better. And so this one's just probably going to be out of the gate, have to be perfect, and you just trust it will be. And
they're just better.
And the price, it's like, I mean, just like with any toy, art, print, painting, whatever, it's, you know, they set the price based on the criteria they know, which no one can ever know the details of unless you work there. And you make the judgment whether it's like, is $750 worth it and can I afford it or am I willing to sell or make, you know, sacrifices for it? And either do it or don't. And it's just like, whether you think it's fair or not fair, it's like, it is what it is and you don't have another choice in the matter. You can either wait till aftermarket and deal with whatever it's going to end up with on eBay, which, you know, I don't ever see it selling for less. And then you're going to have to deal with secondary shipping, and now you're dealing with, you know, people who are even more idiotic, having to box it up and ship it, and then how they're going to, and then if it comes broken, well, they take returns. It's just, you know, with Course, if you get it shipped from Course, we've seen that, you know, they have fantastic customer service and really try to take care of you if you get damaged items. So, you know, if it's worth it and you can afford it, you get it from, you know, the original people, and everything else is going to be a mess.
Yeah, I mean, I don't blame anybody that bought Painted Dreams. If I had the cash on me, I probably would have bought it, but I think just the timing for me was a little off. But I still think it's one of the best Course pieces ever made. So hopefully when people start getting them, there are no issues with shipping. There are no issues with any paint or any rubbing on it or anything like that. So I'm pretty excited to see it. It's not going to come out until the fourth quarter when people actually start getting them, hopefully, as long as there's no delays, which people getting the paw busts are finally starting to get them now, which those have been going on a year or two.
We're like 18 months now with some people not having gotten those.
Yeah, but whatever. I hope there's at least maybe another colorway of it. It would be nice if they do. If they do, I'll probably pick it up at that time. But unfortunately, I didn't do it right now.
I have to say there's probably going to be another one. You know, just knowing just very little about toys and tooling and molds. And, I mean, they'd have to make at least one other color, probably more than that, just to try and get the money out of that mold, especially since it's been so big.
That's what I'm hoping.
And, I mean, we had Paint and Chopper, which were two colorways.
Yeah.
You know, of basically the same figure with just some modification. So, I mean, I would not be surprised to see something different. I mean, one more edition of 200 or something that is, you know, but, you know, with this one, it's, you know, there's not a lot you can change. I mean, you can change his pants, you can change his hair color, you can change the bed color. I mean, you know, it's not going to be probably something radically different, you know, because there's not a lot of, it's a human figure, so... Yeah.
Well, they've been able to, at least with the jaws and stuff, to the color of the skin, the color of the crown and stuff like that. Maybe adding some headphones or something like what's the one figure called?
Feedback,
yeah. That'd be kind of cool, I think. And then they canceled the show. I'm not sure exactly that's why. I don't know if anybody, either of you, have heard any reasons why. But the show was supposed to be starting on June 30th. And now it got moved back to November 3rd. It sounded like there was either some personal issues on Roto Fuji's side or possibly Corsa's side. But they had to move it back another 5 months.
Yeah.
Which is unfortunate, but... And I know, Jeff, you're heading out to Australia during that time, aren't you?
Yeah, so yeah, that's the day I leave for Australia. So not only am I going to be gone for 2 weeks, but the day of the show I'm going to be on airplanes for 18 hours. So it's just like, you know, that perfect, incredibly bad timing where I won't even be able to be on the internet to watch the drop and, you know, the preview and stuff like that because I'll be sitting on planes.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, I'll miss just the whole social experience, I'll meet people and stuff. So I might try to go. I mean, we're in Australia for 2 weeks, and then I might actually try to fly down Thanksgiving weekend and just still go and check it out and say hi to Kirby and stuff, but wait and see how that turns out. But, yeah, that was kind of a bummer, especially since we were literally getting arrangements for where to stay and when to meet up the day that Kirby posted it was being delayed, that we were all getting it coordinated literally like an hour before that. It was kind of funny.
Yeah,
that sucks. I'm glad you hadn't made major plans already. Speaking of Chicago, another one of my friends that lives in town mentioned that there's going to be a Ferg's having a show at Roto in April. Do you guys already know about that?
Next year?
Yeah.
No, I haven't seen that.
Haven't seen anything. Molly will like that.
I don't know if it's an exclusive squat show like it was last time, or if it's just Ferg's work, sort of maybe potentially independent of Jamungo. I'm not sure. My friend's a big squat collector. Going back to toys a little bit, I recently got my my squat frog, which is awesome. He's got like a scuba tank, and he's got the goggles, and he's got like a harpoon and fins. And I don't collect a ton of squats. I probably have 6 or 7 of them, but this one is really cool. But he mentioned that there's going to be Ferg's having a show in April. He said Chicago. I'm assuming it's Roto, but I guess don't quote me on that. But he asked me if I wanted to go. It's kind of far away for me to decide, but I think, but Mally would definitely be interested in that since he went the last time.
Yeah. If you do make it out there, let us know. I mean, there's nothing on Roto Fuji's site yet. They probably won't. I think last year they announced everything towards the end of the year.
Yeah.
For all of 2012, which the 3A show was canceled. The course show was moving. So everything moves around. But right now there isn't anything about the Ferg show.
Yeah. But I think the squats are cool. Another one dropped on Memorial Day, which was pretty cool, that I was drinking at the pool and I just forgot about it.
That happens when you're drinking at a pool.
Yeah. I was with Amanda and a couple other people, and even if I had remembered, I don't know if I could have been like, I'm going to go inside for like 5 minutes and buy this toy instead of sitting out here in the sun and drinking.
Yeah.
So... But that would have been a hard sell. But
I hope no toys drop when I'm in Jamaica. So
I'm going to be in Hawaii for 2 weeks, and I hope nothing serious drops while I'm there either. But I'm going to have my computer, but I'll have better things in my mind.
Yeah.
Doing nothing.
Yeah, that's what I'm excited for when I'm on the beaches of Jamaica, just drinking, eating, and doing nothing.
Yeah, yeah. So those are my main concerns for when I'm on vacation. I got a new print. It's probably nothing that was on anybody else's radar other than mine. It's a print by an artist named Jordan Buckley. He's in the band that he did the print for. The band is Every Time I Die. It's from my hometown of Buffalo, New York, and he went to University of Buffalo with me for 1 year. And him and I we had a couple classes, but we weren't really friends. But his band's awesome, and he's a really awesome artist. And he dropped a print for this European tour that a local place in Buffalo printed called Hero Design.
They actually had a Bud show that I was in probably like 3 or 4 years ago. But I mean, it's just a pretty typical illustration of his, but it's a shark, and I love sharks, and it was only $35, so it's just another print that I picked up, and somehow I got number 150 of 150. I know it's not a big deal, it's just sort of I thought it was funny that I got the very last one, and
that's cool.
But of course I have no room to put it, so it's just sitting on my kitchen table at the moment, but I think it's a cool print.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I just got my touchy print, and yeah, I have nowhere to put it. And now that I have it, it's something that I'm going to let it mull, but it might be something I know there's a couple of boardies that missed out on the drop, and I might have to pass it off just because of wall space, and it was one of those impulse purchases that I don't know if I really need to add it to my diminishing wall space of prints.
Yeah.
It's kind of cool. Yeah.
For print-wise, I got the new... Kano dropped off, created a Avengers print. He made four different kind of paintings of, I think it was Iron Man, the Hulk, Captain America, and Thor. And then he kind of... They were like 8x8 paintings, and then he kind of made it into kind of like a 20x20 print.
Oh, those are tight. I'm looking at them right now. They're pretty tight.
Yeah, I got that, which will match my... I've got his Iron Man and Spider-Man paintings that he did live at the New York Comic Con, so those are like 4 feet by 2 feet, so I'm gonna get that framed up and get that next one. I think it'll look pretty sweet next to each other, but yeah, again, it's still gotta get some wall space.
Yeah, those paintings are dope. I'm curious, I'm looking at them right now, I'm curious how he did the comic background.
He took old comics and wheat pasted them.
Yeah,
and then paint over them.
I like how the white is somewhat transparent in the paintings,
mm-hmm.
and you can sort of see through it. Yeah, those are pretty tight, and they're very a good example of his illustration style.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, they're really cool.
Yeah, they're pretty cool.
That's the print sold out. Like, it got released over at night and sold out really quickly, which I was kind of surprised. But it's only an edition of 20, so I'm not too surprised.
And with the Avengers, I mean, at anything Avengers right now, it's kind of like golden, no matter who drops what related to that.
John, are they screen prints or are they digital prints?
I think they're, I don't know. How can I tell?
Do you have it in hand?
Yeah. It's under my bed.
My file. You don't need to get it out, but when you look at it again, you should be able to tell if there's ink laying on top of ink, or if it's just, you know, one sort of solid, like, ink surface. But, like, I can imagine him, I think it'd be cool if he printed, like, the comic digitally, because since there's so many colors, it would be sort of pointless to try and print that screen print. But then if you just printed the white and the black over it with screen print, I think that would be cool. It would just give it kind of a more unique effect. If I doubt that's what he did, but it would have been cool if he had.
It doesn't look like it.
Yeah,
it looks like it's a digital print.
Yeah, but that's still cool that he only made 20. When you do digital prints, you could just, you know, pop out like as many as you want.
Mm-hmm.
But I speaking of the Avengers, I finally saw the Avengers.
What'd you think of it?
Awesome. I thought it was super awesome.
Yeah, I'm going to go see Prometheus on Friday. That's my next super hype. Can't wait to catch that.
Yep, I'm going to see it Thursday at midnight.
Oh, that's right.
After trivia. Yeah, as long as I don't... Well, making my backstory even worse is now we have a taillight out that I need to fix before trivia to go on top of my expired license. So I need to, like, all this stuff with the car is mounting that I need to take care of, because it's just gonna like peak with me not seeing Prometheus.
Yep.
And so I gotta take care of all that stuff, but I'm super super stoked. I know that, speaking of Ali Moss, he had a couple comments about Prometheus on Twitter. I'm trying to ignore them.
Yeah, I've been, since it dropped, you know, it opened in the UK and other countries last weekend, I'm just have been avoiding everything that people have been talking about just to try to not have anything spoiled until I get to see it.
Yeah.
I mean, from what I've heard about Prometheus, it's gotten, like, lukewarm kind of reviews. I didn't really read too much into it. I'm still going to check it out, though I haven't really seen the Alien movies.
I'll let that slide, I guess. I think you've mentioned that. You've had, like, a whole bunch of weeks to remedy that.
It was actually on TV the other day, and I started watching it, but then I got distracted.
Yeah. And you have to, I mean, for me, even with old movies, you really need to be paying attention and be into it in order to even just maintain your focus. Because, I mean, like, even I tried to watch Blade Runner, and I was doing something, like cleaning or something, and I ended up just missing, like, 3/4 of the movie, even though Blade Runner is awesome.
But yeah, it's just old movies, you really have to concentrate and, like, pay attention. You can't, they're not as... Yeah. I mean, Transformers, you can leave the room and come back a half hour later and not have missed anything. Yeah, Ridley Scott films, you really can't do that.
Yeah, and it's just... But yeah, and honestly, in my opinion, I like Aliens a little bit better than I like the first one. But I still think they're great. Both are great. So yeah. I really don't think I could possibly be disappointed with Prometheus. I know that's sort of... With that attitude, you're just sort of setting yourself up for failure. But, I mean, I have no expectations. Based on what I know, I already know I'm going to like it. It's just, that's just what I know about myself. I'm not, like, I mean, I wouldn't say that about anything. So, yeah. I'm looking forward to that. And, Avengers was really good. Hulk and Thor and Iron Man were super badass. And just, I guess, by nature, you know, Cap can't necessarily do as much, and Black Widow and Hawkeye can't necessarily do as much, but they pitched in. But just in comparison, and the powers of the other three are just so much more immense.
Mm-hmm.
But it was pretty awesome. And I don't know if any of you guys have heard or if you know anything more about it, but I heard speculation of the suit called the Hulkbuster, which is actually a suit that Iron Man makes for Hulk?
No. It's a suit that Iron Man makes for himself when he fights the Hulk to have some kind of, you know, ability, you know, even chance to beat the shit out of him. But it's an Iron Man suit that he wears himself.
Okay, because it sort of looks like a Juggernaut type suit.
Right. It's just a massive. Okay. Iron Man suit.
Okay, I got my stories crossed a little bit. I'm like, that would be so freaking sick, because I know that ultimately he makes a liquid suit for Spider-Man, and then he becomes Iron Spider-Man. So I thought maybe he did a suit for Hulk as well to make him even more badass. But guess I got it. He'd be unstoppable if there was a suit for Hulk.
But, yeah, the first pictures of Iron Man 3, they're filming right now. Those have been hitting the web, and this seems to be borrowing heavily from the extremist storyline that Warren Ellis and Adi Granoff did, 6 years ago, where they kind of rebooted Iron Man and gave him a suit that actually is inside of him and kind of comes out through his pores and forms around him instead of being a metallic suit that he gets into.
Yeah.
So they're probably going to be pulling in some stuff from Extremis. And then Iron Patriot, which in the comic is Norman Osborn, the Green Goblin.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He eventually becomes Iron Patriot in this kind of red, white, and blue armor. But apparently the Patriot armor's in the new movie, but who's actually wearing it is still kind of under wraps.
I don't know his name, but at Dragon Con last year, this guy... He made, he's a metal worker. He's like an artist that works in metal. But he made, 3 or 4 different Iron Man suits that were completely made of metal. And they were all, like, they had electronic articulation, and, like, so the faces would open. Mm-hmm. They were fucking amazing. Like,
wow.
There's someone, online, the people and videos of some guy doing it. I don't know if it's the same one.
No, I saw that one, and that one looked like it was mostly plastic, but it still looked amazing. Like, the back, I think you're talking about the one where the back fins kind of go up and down, and the face opens.
But these ones, I walked up next to them, and you could hear them. They walked super slow because they were all made out of, like, steel. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they were stomping around. But there was a War Machine, there was a standard Iron Man, and then I didn't know his name until you just said it, but there was an Iron Patriot there as well. And if I find the pictures on my hard drive of them, I'll send them to you, John, for the blog. But, man, these suits were unreal. Unreal. And one of my friends, because we were dressed up as the Box Heroes, one of my friends knew them, and I'm like, yeah, they had to have somebody make them. He's like, no, man, that guy right there made all four of those suits. Hmm. They were fucking crazy. I'll have to find those pictures because I was blown away. Like, my mind was blown, literally. That's cool. when I found out that like somebody literally just made those suits, and it was an artist. It was fucking cool. But anyway.
Otherwise, toy wise, actually scored the Mads, the model, the green glow in the dark. Resident guy he dropped a couple weeks ago now, so was pretty psyched about that.
Did you get it yet?
No, I haven't gotten it yet. I don't think they've shipped out yet, but okay. I'll definitely be. Can't wait to like actually charge it up and then turn the lights off and see how bright it actually glows.
Did those sell out quick?
Yeah, it was minutes if that. All of his resin drops have gone super fast. And then the other thing that dropped actually this week that I'm so psyched to get is the mini Goji. So a couple months ago now, it's the site is Yellow Dino, the Yellow Dino Dino.com. And yeah. They kind of tease pictures of these. It's called the mini Goji. It's like a little hippopotamus dinosaur looking guy with his mouth open.
Yeah, I'm looking at these resin versions of it right now that look like crystal. They look sweet.
What is it?
And so those dropped this week, the resin ones, and they're $75 each, limited to 12 of each colorway. So as soon as she dropped that they were available, I emailed her right away and got an amber one, which... very psyched to get because I'm getting more and more into the whole like clear resin and just gorgeous figures. I mean, they look to be really sizable, you know, probably like 4 or 5 inches and you know, probably good weight to them. And
I don't know, unless this guy's got a tiny little hand, they look bigger than that.
Yep,
I don't know, they look a lot bigger than a Dunny, which is 3 inches. Five, maybe 6 inches. They look pretty sweet. If you can find somebody that can cast that well, practically like any decent sculpt is gonna fucking look awesome.
Yep.
These look freaking sweet. I can't. Yeah. I mean, I've been casting stuff and it looks like freaking garbage compared to that. It looks beautiful. Awesome. Yep. Yeah.
So psyched for that, and so yeah, this will, you know, I'm really get into like just really kind of cool, one-of-a-kind, you know, rarer things, you know, like this, that, you know, can really stand out.
I mean, I'm even looking at the solid versions, and just the clear ones look just way more impactful and interesting to me than the solid painted versions do.
Yep.
Where are you looking right now?
I just Googled Mini Goji. G-O-J-I.
I'm on the Yellow Dino.
Their blog. Her blog is where... you know, they actually have pictures of the resin ones.
I'm on Google Images.
You can only buy them by emailing her directly. There's not like a for sale page or a web store. It's, you know, she's kind of, you know, controlling, you know, how they sell. So you just, you know, you email, you know, info@theyellowdino.com. And
I want the green one.
Yeah. Oh, of course.
Do you know what her name is, the artist?
The person I've been emailing with and purchasing them is Yudi, Y-U-D-I, and then Andhika, A-N-D-H-I-K-A. So, she's been really cool. She has a thread on King Robot on the Toy Talk forum. She started a thread, for the sale of them, and I commented, and she commented back right away, and so.
Yeah, they're pretty cool.
How much were they? How much were the resin ones?
They're $75, and then it's like $3 shipping because they're coming from Indonesia, Singapore, somewhere. They're overseas.
Are they sold out?
There's 12 of each, and I have no idea how many have sold. I got my Amber in, you know, like minutes after she tweeted that they were up. So you can email her and check out.
What's her Twitter? Yeah, it's
$108 shipped.
Is the Amber one that orangish color?
Yep.
Yeah, that's cool. Hopefully there's like a mosquito in the middle.
Yeah, I know. That's what I was thinking, like the whole Jurassic Park thing. I like orange. Orange is kind of my color, so I was pretty psyched about those.
Yeah, I like that and the green and the blue.
Yeah, the green one's really cool. The clear one was the only one where I was like, eh, on, but the rest are pretty sweet. The other toy I really wanted until I did see the price, and since we were talking about prices and whether we think it's valuable or not, or, you know, right, is the Earthman figure. The
Earthwolf?
No, not the. This is the crazy bunny headed spacesuit, orange and yellow guy. It's the sixth figure from, was it Low Fools? So that just got announced and dropped last week, and it was something that I was gonna buy, definitely gonna buy. It's insanely cool, but it was like $575, where...
Oh, damn.
For me, it's like... I mean, that's like, okay, you know, gorgeous figure, gorgeous sculpt, love, you know, the little bunny shoes he has on, you know, but... Yeah, for me, totally not worth $575 for, you know, for a 12-inch, you know, figure, since, one, I'm not that much into 12 inches,
I didn't know about that figure, but yeah, it seems like a lot for something that you just sort of stumble upon, but it's pretty cool. Can you hear me, John?
I can hear you.
Okay. I can't tell if Jeff's still there.
Yeah, I'm still here.
Okay. I didn't know if you were talking about there's that old Earth Wolf figure by, what the hell's his name? The guy who works at Super 7, Josh Herbelsheimer. I think Roto's dropping it. I'm just mentioning it because it made me think of it. I am not particularly fond of this figure.
Mm-hmm.
It's based on one of his paintings. It's actually, there's a picture of it on Roto's site right now. It's not for sale yet.
Yeah, it is.
Actually, it is.
$150.
Yeah. It's, like I said, it's based on his character from his painting. I'm definitely not a big fan of this figure. I'm a big fan of Super 7 in general, but I'm looking at it, and Super 7 did not even produce it. It's a Metacom figure. But I can see how some people like it that are into, Japanese vinyl, but it doesn't really do much for me.
What's it called again?
Earthwolf. It's on the front page of Roto Fuji's site right now.
Okay.
And like I said, it's not really all that cool. They had a prototype of it at the Super 7 booth last year. From what I know about you guys, you don't necessarily pay too much attention to Super 7.
I'm not a big fan.
Yeah, I still collect a fair amount of their figures. Now, while we're on the topic, their 11th anniversary is on June 9th. I always would, if I lived in San Francisco, I would totally go to this party every year. They have all kinds of prototype figures, and they do the lucky bags, which is sort of, I don't know if you guys are familiar with that, but they sort of copied that idea from other Japanese companies like Gargamel, and a few other companies do it, where you pay a flat fee, a flat price, and you get a bag, and you get a bunch of one-offs and prototypes and stuff that you could have never, that were never offered during the year, but you don't know exactly what you're going to get. And the lucky bags this year are $300. I've gotten them, I think, two or three of them in the past and been pretty happy with what I got. I sort of want one this year, but it's also like a thing that they use to debut new sculpts. And Super 7 has gone sort of cutesy with the recent figures, and I haven't really been on board with too many of the new sculpts. So I, with that in mind, I might have to pass on the Lucky Bags. Plus, people usually buy them, and a bunch of stuff immediately goes up for sale on Skullbrain because people really are only buying them to get maybe one or two things. Mm-hmm. And you get, I think you get 10 figures of all range and sizes. And so everything that people don't want is immediately for sale on Skullbrain. So I've done that in the past where I'll just sort of pick and choose what I want based on what people are selling. But that's coming up. But I don't really, like I said, I shouldn't be spending any money. I'm surprised Amanda didn't yell at me because my Caesar showed up today and there's these two giant-ass boxes. It's like, what the hell are those? She was too occupied with thinking about capturing the cats.
Yeah. Think about the cats.
Where are the cats?
These are not the droids you are looking for.
Yeah. As I throw them in behind the other boxes that she doesn't. With unidentified toys in them.
Yeah.
But
The other thing is we're starting to finally see Comic-Con exclusives.
Yes.
And Kid Robot kind of has shadow pictures, but details now of all their drops and dates and times. And I'm intrigued. I mean, the Chuck Boy Labbit, I think, could be totally awesome. I love some of the stuff he does. And then the Huck G will probably be the two I definitely go for.
Yeah, I'm totally intrigued by the Chuck or the Huck G figure. The Huck G figure.
Yeah, exactly.
And hopefully it sounds like both of you guys are for into it. Hopefully Mally or somebody doesn't want it. Cause I haven't figured out anything else that I want. So right now that might be on the top of my list until I guess we'll see if pictures destroy it or not. But based on the silhouette, it looks like it's going to be pretty cool.
Yep.
So. I'm going to go for the Huck G that's getting released on Saturday during Comic-Con.
Is that the taller original sculpt figure? I don't know its name. Or does he have more than one figure releasing?
No.
Okay.
It sounds like the one at Comic-Con, though, is a variant that there'll be a standard release on Kid Robot down the road.
That
this one's just kind of a colorway version of it or something.
Hopefully it's something that glows. I'm a sucker for anything that glows, really.
Yep.
But hopefully you guys can drag Mally along and he won't want it. And then he could just buy one for me.
Yep. Those and now the Luke Chew's dropping his Comic-Con
Target
colorway of the Target guy, yep, which will probably be a must-get.
That's pretty cool, too.
Yeah, yep. I want to get that as well. Kano's last Dragon King is getting released, so I'll be picking that up at Kuso Vinyl. And then some 3A stuff. The Companion Cube.
Yep, Companion Cubes rocks.
Is that the Portal Cube?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. The prototype portal figures look pretty rad that they showed at Hong Kong. Unfortunately, I still haven't played it because I don't have the right system, nor is it out. For the iPad, I was hoping there'd be some sort of iPad version of it, but there's not, and there's nothing for the Wii, and so I still haven't played it. But the figures look pretty fucking cool.
You can play on computer.
Yeah, they do have it for the computer.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay, well, I'll look into that because ever since I saw that 5-minute homemade movie of Portal. And ever since you guys have talked it up, I've wanted to start playing it, and I can't.
I don't know. I actually finally finished the online version where it's, two-player online. And, we've been playing, one level every, month for the past 6 months. But we finally wrapped that up this past week. It was kind of cool.
It felt so. Yeah. We were playing, and I was ready to go play more because I didn't have anything to do all night. And when we started playing, it was, the last two boards. and then we were done.
Yep.
And then it went faster than we thought, because there's a couple of puzzle boards that kind of stumped us for a bit, but then we got them figured out. But the last two weren't too difficult, because we were able to figure them out pretty quickly.
Yeah, I mean, there were boards that literally took us hours probably to piece together all the different things you had to do to actually get to the exit. And, I mean, it's fun just to sit there in the exploration and then, you know, nothing, like, you walk in and absolutely nothing makes sense. And then you see, like, oh, what if we do this? And then that triggers, and then your brain starts to put the puzzle together.
Yeah.
It's such a cool game for that aspect.
Yeah, that's my favorite part of video games. I mean, I love the Tomb Raider franchise. I'm not so sure about the newer ones, but back when it first came out on PlayStation and PlayStation 2, just trying to figure, you could see sort of the exit or a treasure or something, and just trying to figure out how to get there was my favorite part, without dying, well, or dying several times and then finally not dying. But yeah, that sounds awesome. I love puzzles.
Mm-hmm.
But the rest of 3A, I mean, I guess they haven't shown everything, but nothing was really blowing my mind right now. There's the MK3 Warhol Key Square.
Yeah.
Is that
confirmed?
The Mighty Squaro.
Yeah, the Mighty Squaro. The Mighty Squaro is pretty cool, but hopefully they do a better job of selling it than they did last year.
Yeah.
That
was a little cluster.
Yeah. And the only reason I got it is because I got onto the floor early that day.
Well, there's supposedly everything for 3A is going to be able to be pre-ordered.
Like there was at Hong Kong?
Supposedly. We'll see how that goes, but that's what they say. I hope that the one thing I think I like that I saw were the APTKs for the Baka.
Yeah, I don't know if those are going to be Comic-Con releases. I mean, the fact that they just came out seems to be leading in that direction, but I don't think they've definitely said so, the three of them. I'm trying to stay away from the AP stuff, but those little guys are going to be pretty cool.
Yeah, I'm not a... I really like those figures. Of all the TKs, those are my favorite. So if they do release at Comic-Con, or I guess maybe hopefully not, because I kind of want to own them, so hopefully I have a chance to buy them too.
Yeah, you're just gonna have to ignore the no running.
Yeah.
As usual.
Yeah.
Just throw a couple bows and knock the person out that's saying no running, and just get there.
I mean, even with all 3A last year, you had to either be on the floor early, or you just got lucky. Because
I'm telling you, man, that day that I got onto the floor early, I had to make a decision of whether wait in line and get another set of TKs, or go over to Toy Tokyo and get the cube. When I got the 3A, there were already, like, this is like 20 minutes before anybody, like, before the doors actually opened, there were already 12 people in line.
Yeah.
And there were other people talking to them that weren't in line, and they were all exhibitors, or, like, there's a dude I met on Skullbrain, like, 4 or 5 years ago, and, I'm not going to say his name, but he sold me some real head figures, and I've periodically talked to him ever since. And, I met him last year at Comic-Con for the first time. I think I saw him at the Monkey King party, and, I'd never met him. He's from England. He's a super cool dude. He goes to Comic-Con every year, but I saw him again that day, talking to some, like, Ash or somebody else in front of the IDW booth, and I walked up and I looked at his ID and I'm like, dude, this is not, he had Brian, I mean, I don't think it makes fucking difference, but he had Brian Flynn's ID badge. Brian Flynn owns Super 7, and his wife went into labor like the last day of Comic-Con, so he just gave this other guy his badge, like his exhibitor's badge. And I mean, that shit probably happens all the time. And that's why there's so many people in line before, like, if the limit's 15 and there's already 13 people in line, it's totally unfair.
Mm-hmm.
It's fucking ridiculous. And
hopefully with the pre-orders, they'll be able to kind of stop that a little bit.
Yeah.
But we'll see how things go, because things always don't work out how you think they will.
I mean, I can't say it wasn't fun, you know, the chase is all part of it until you don't get anything, like a bunch of people did, and I don't know how. Either they didn't put in the effort or they just have super bad luck, because, I mean, we were stressing about it, and we still, I mean, for the most part, got almost everything we wanted, and that's, like I said, it's sort of, that's part of the fun, but if you got totally shut out or, you know, it would probably suck. You know, you go there to buy toys and hang out with people. And, I mean, if you don't get any of your shit, you're probably gonna be pissed the whole time.
Yeah,
but I like it. At least within the first 15 minutes of Comic-Con opening, you kind of already know what you're going to be able to get or not get. So then you have the rest of the day to walk around the convention center, actually go to some of the panels if you're able to get into them. But before I went in 2008, and everything was, you had to wait in line until 11, 12 o'clock. So you spent your entire time waiting in line.
Yeah. And honestly, the best day I had last year was probably maybe Saturday, where I didn't have anything to buy, didn't bring any of my bags. I think all I did was bring some of that Makers. I think it was the day that I just brought the flask. The fifth of Makers that I had, and I was just drinking out of that bottle, walking around with nothing the whole day, and it was beautiful. Like, my back didn't hurt. I didn't have to, like, you know, turn sideways to get by people because I had so much shit with me. It was, that was a good day. I can't even remember what I don't even know what we did or who I was necessarily hanging out with, but we just walked around and checked stuff out and talked to people. It might have been the day you and Molly were talking to Kano. You guys hung out there for an hour or two getting sketches.
Yeah.
I think I was just like, fuck it, I'll follow you guys. I got no agenda today, and I didn't bring anything with me. It was a good day.
Yeah, hopefully we can get stuff either on preview night and Thursday and Friday, or then just, for the most part, kind of just have fun and relax.
Yeah. So you guys already got a hotel?
Yep.
Yeah, we booked it through the con, so we're actually about four blocks from the convention this time, so...
Cool. So
it'll be really nice.
No waiting 30 minutes for a shuttle while
yeah, and then sitting on the shuttle for 40 minutes or 30 minutes.
While your toy future ticks away.
Yep. It'll be nice. Yeah, we got super nice hotel.
Now you can run down the street if you really have to.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's cool.
We can go put our stuff all back in the hotel room and take a nap if we need to.
Yeah. Yeah, that's cool.
And if we want to go to the restaurants and we can't have our bags, we can go put those away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it'll be fun. Cool. You're going to have to come next year, Jared.
Oh, I mean, I mentioned it to Jeff, I think, that, you know, last year was so much fun, and, you know, you guys, I mean, Jeff, you've been going for a while, that I think it'd be cool just to sort of make it a tradition and just go every year and hang out, and it's sort of, you know, I know I have a good excuse, but I'm sort of jealous that I have to miss this year.
I kind of planned for the wedding not to be around Comic-Con.
I planned my wedding based on our family's reunion, and it's the 13th and the 14th, so it just happens to be the same exact weekend as Comic-Con, so. But that only happens every 3 years, and if there's not a wedding, I doubt we're going to be attending, because we'd never attended before until 2009 when my sister got married, so. I have another sister, and she's already engaged, and I don't think they can afford to go to Hawaii, so I don't think we're going to be going back for a while.
All right.
So, start the tradition.
Next year, you better be there.
I'll be there.
Good.
Yeah. You can count on it.
I am. I'm counting. All right, so you guys want to get into movies, toys, TV shows, or movies, TV shows, comics, and books?
I'll go ahead and bring up the show that Jeff sent me, which was the Tron Uprising, which is just awesome. I think we might have already touched base on it.
Yep.
At some point, but man, I know it's only one episode, but it was super cool.
Yeah, I think the full season starts next week, and so I think it was a 10-episode season. So yeah, really psyched for that.
Yeah, the animation definitely is really cool. It's sort of reminiscent of
to me anyway, of Aeon Flux, but it wasn't so dirty, I guess, because but just kind of the exaggerated kind of Marfan's features. They're all sort of tall and skinny, sort of reminded me of Aeon Flux.
Yep.
But it's very cool. I can't wait for you to give me more episodes.
Yes. I just started watching. There's a new Canadian sci-fi TV show called Continuum. That just started. The first two episodes have aired. And really good show. It's kind of like if Alcatraz was actually written by people who weren't morons. So it's kind of like it starts out, I think it was in, it's in 2077. Woman is a cop. A bunch of terrorists blow up a bunch of buildings, kill tens of thousands of people. They get sentenced to death. They're about to be executed. She's in the chamber with them. They pull out a device that they were hoping would launch them back six years in time so they could kind of continue their reign of terror, but in the past, and instead throws the seven terrorists and her 6 years back in time to 2012, of course. So she has all of her super future tech cop gadgets, and all the seven super criminals, you know, have like, you know, heightened abilities. And so it's that, you know, person at a time tracking down the criminals, blah, blah, blah. But written well, acted well, just, I mean, one of those ones where you're like, okay, very traditional, you know, nothing groundbreaking, but just done really well. And it's good show. Good. Yeah, I really liked it so far.
Sounds good. Yeah, sounds cool. You'll have to throw one of those my way too.
Yeah, I can definitely do that. So so that's TV show. A book I just started today, John Scalzi, who's one of my favorite authors, just came out with a book called Red Shirts, which kind of, if you know, people who know Star Trek know what the red shirts are and what the red shirts mean. And it's basically a book written by a you know, group of five red shirts get conscripted in on the, you know, flagship of the Universal Union Starfleet, you know, analogy, and find out that on this ship, whenever there's an away mission, everyone who has a red shirt and is kind of the secondary person gets killed, and they kind of find this out and desperately try to not get killed, and then find out why on this ship all the red shirts always die horrible, stupid deaths from doing really dumb things. So so far I'm about a third of the way through it. It just, it came out today. I couldn't stop reading it. It's just great book. So well worth checking out.
Yeah, I mean, if it just came out today and you already got a third of the way through it, it must be good.
I love
really good books. You just, I mean, you might not have the time, or might be 4 a.m, and you just can't put it down.
Yep. Yeah, that's kind of the way it was today. It just was like every minute I could grab, I was like just, you know, trying to grab another chapter. And it's a quick read. It's a fun read. You know, it's kind of a comedy, but you know, if you know, you're a Star Trek fan, it hits every single trope and button that, you know, you're familiar with. And yep, good stuff.
Yeah, it sounds pretty cool. I just grabbed the Game of Thrones season one from your part of it, because I just got a commission for a Tyrion plus two money set. And so I'm going to start reading the books, because I like to have as much information as possible. And maybe you can tell me, have either of you read the books?
No.
Nope.
Okay. I know Mally started them. I was just going to see if just watching the show would be enough background for me to make some good customs. But
my fiance, Taryn, has read them. She's read the first couple books, the book and the movie, or the book and the TV show, pretty much go hand in hand. There isn't a whole lot of differences. I'm sure there are differences, but there isn't a ton. But
yeah.
Tyrion is one of my favorite characters in the show.
Yeah, and I guess since basically the figures are going to be visual representations, they'll probably be mostly based off what they look like in the show. So maybe I won't. Maybe I won't read the books. I don't really have time.
They're long.
Yeah, I know. They're super long. They're like one of those midget books that are like 6 inches tall and like 4 inches wide and like 8 inches thick.
Yeah. Yep.
Speaking of Tyrion, the midget books.
But yeah, the finale of that was quite good. Was quite happy with season two ending and where everything got left. And I can't wait to see what kind of Comic-Con presence they have again. And
yeah.
I would assume we're going to start seeing a lot more merchandising and stuff, which could be kind of cool depending on what they're releasing.
I'm sure there's going to be a ton of people cosplaying.
Oh, yeah.
These characters.
Which,
if done well, could be pretty cool.
Yeah, those giant banners they had last year were so cool with the house logos.
Mm-hmm.
They're probably not called logos. I don't know what else you'd call them. Marks, the crest, yeah. Logo seems so... corporate. Crest is much more appropriate. But they were very cool.
Yeah. Movie-wise, for me, I watched a couple movies. One I watched on Netflix was The People versus George Lucas. It's a pretty much about how fans... It seems like it's the stages of grief about how people love George Lucas and how they how much Star Wars changed their lives and how it's influenced them to how much they hate George Lucas for changing so much within the Star Wars from the special editions to the new trilogy and things like that, and kind of goes through interviews a bunch of different people and how much they either still like it, they hate it, or they're kind of indifferent in regards to the newest trilogy. So it was pretty entertaining if you're a Star Wars fan and maybe something to check out. It's streaming on Netflix right now, so it's something to watch.
Cool. That sounds pretty cool. I actually saw something Star Wars related. I think it was in Wired, but it was the issue was about how to be a cool, nerdy dad. And,
oh yeah, that was in the latest issue of Wired.
Yeah, and it was the thing I saw was how to go about showing your kids the 6 Star Wars movies, because if you show them in the order that they were released. Oh, no, if you show them in the order, like, 1 through 6, then it totally ruins the second part because you know that Vader is Skywalker's dad.
Yeah.
So they suggest that the way that you show... I'm not looking at the article, so hopefully I don't butcher this, but they say the way you should show them is New Hope and then Empire Strikes Back
mm-hmm.
and then Episode 1...
Nope, skip one. It goes 4, 5, 2, 3, 6, and you never show them one because one has no purpose.
Yeah, 4, 5, 2, 3, 6, and I also read in that same on that same page that I think it was Topher Grace made one full length movie where he condensed all 6 movies, or maybe just the new ones.
The first 3. The first 3 down to like 85 minutes.
And I think another guy, it might have been even Topher, but they cut out every single part of Jar Jar Binks, so you never see him.
Yeah.
And even though Episode 1 is sort of considered the worst one, that like without Jar Jar Binks, it makes it so much better. It was really interesting to see how far people were going with, you know, try to pass on, you know, the movies to your kids, and you know how much people, like you were saying, the grief of how much people actually hate the new movies, and maybe not all of them, but the first one is just considered blasphemy to most super fans.
Well, one of the points that they were talking about in The People versus George Lucas was about Jar Jar Binks, and that kids like Jar Jar Binks, but it's all the older people, the people that are grew up with Star Wars, hate Jar Jar Binks, and that we hate now the first 3 movies, but kids, they like the 3 movies.
And yeah, and I mean, I wouldn't. I'd probably say that when you show them the original ones, that you know, some of them might ask why all the costumes look so crappy.
Yeah.
Or why are there dudes in costumes instead of a real alien or something like that?
Mm-hmm. But the whole point is, it's like, you can make a movie that appeals to kids and adults at the same time, and most people who know how to write and direct good movies do that, if that's their target. I mean, it's not like, oh, I'm going to make something that the kids are like and that all the adults will hate, because that's all you can do. It's like, no, you look at every single Pixar movie, and
yeah,
they work on two levels for two different audiences. Or, I mean, there's countless, you know, well-made movies for both, Miyazaki. I mean, Spirited Away, My Neighbor Totoro. They're movies that, no matter how old you are, you come away with just a marvel. And it just shows how much of a hack and piece of shit he is as a writer and a director, that his whole thing was like, I'm making these for kids and fuck the adults. It's like, well, then you're a piece of shit. So, you know.
Yeah. It's, and I mean, like, it could be, what's his name? Hayden.
Christensen.
Yeah, Hayden Christensen. It could be it's possible that he's just a terrible actor. But compared to the first three, just the storyline and the dialogue and the acting was just so inferior in the new ones.
Well, the original ones, I didn't think they really had that great of acting. I didn't think they would necessarily know, but the story, the dialogue and stuff definitely was better.
And they were directed by other people. I mean, one of the reasons Empire Strikes Back is so good is that George Lucas didn't direct it. I mean, he might have wrote it and did the screenplay work, but it's like, he handed it off to people who knew the craft and knew the art of filmmaking, and you got a superior film for it. I mean, and he has complete, you know, look at what he did with Indiana Jones and the Crystal Skull piece fucking of terrible. Shit. What I mean, it's like, he's a crappy writer and a crappy director who, 40 years ago was able to get some stuff done when he was able to lean on other people, but he's done really shit for the most part.
Yeah, the new Indiana Jones was like, I was tolerating it until they went to the aliens, and then I'm like, fuck this.
Yep.
Fuck you. And I'm probably the last person to ever say fuck you to an alien, but just the lead up, I mean, I'm like, this is how you fucking get out of it. I don't know if you've ever heard of the term the ghost in the machine. Like, they attribute a lot of this to Lost, where you write yourself into a fucking corner and then you don't know what to do. Mm-hmm. And then you just say, oh, it was aliens. Because you don't know where to go. Yeah. And that's exactly how I felt. And it's just, well, I mean, I think, like I said, the same thing with Lost, that they got so far into it that they didn't know what to do. And then they just made up that, for the most part, bullshit ending. But, like, aliens? Are you fucking serious?
Yeah.
I was so fucking mad. So mad. It was so annoying.
That's like one of the movies that I saw. I think it was Knowing or The Happening or something with, what's it called? Nicolas Cage?
The Knowing. Same thing. Same fucking thing. Aliens.
The movie was good, and then when I found out they were aliens, I stood up in the theater, and I'm like, you got to be kidding me.
Yeah, exactly.
People started looking at me and just started laughing, because I'm like, wouldn't you learn it was aliens? The whole movie was crap.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's one of the movies I've absolutely hated. Up to that part was decent. You think, oh, hopefully they can make a cool twist in the ending or make something cool out of it. Nope, it was aliens.
Yeah, that's a movie I Redboxed because I had a lot of work to do and I knew I was going to be up in the middle of the night. And it was, I did the exact same thing. I'm like, are you fucking serious? Fucking aliens? Yeah. And I'm trying to find another movie that did the exact same thing. It was, I'm on IMDb right now. It was a Nicole Kidman movie. It was like The Missing or something else where her kid disappeared and they like erased his memory, the memory of him and everybody, and they like doctored her house so all his clothes and all his room and shit were gone, and everybody thought she was crazy, and then when they got to the very end, it found out that aliens were, like, kidnapping kids.
and like erasing all existence of them. I think it was Nicole Kidman. I can't fucking find it, but it was terrible. It was another one of those movies that I saw. And I mean, I've probably seen, I go to a lot of movies, and this is probably one of the worst movies I ever saw. Well, Dante's Peak was right up there with one of the worst movies I ever saw in the theater. Because I've been saving my movie ticket since Scream came out. Scream 1, which was January 97. I've been saving my movie stub since.
Oh, wow.
I used to do that, but I just threw them all away.
That's cool.
Yeah. You just gave in to the... I'm on a streak now. I can't give in now.
Yeah, I had like a huge stack of movie tickets, and I'm like, oh, I was going to do this, and then I was cleaning or moving or something, and I'm like, I'm done. I just threw them away.
Yeah, who cares? I'll just toss these. But now I'm not sure if it was Nicole Kidman, because I can't find this motherfucking movie. I guess it doesn't matter. Mally just sent me a message, and it says, this will be the surprise.
Yeah, it's up right now.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
This is... I'm like I said, I'm happy that the Pure Lady Sham is still up. It's supposed to be some sort of limited edition, my ass.
What's the surprise?
It's Red Devil Lady Sham. And of course, there's no picture of it. It's just an illustration, so you don't actually know what it will know what it is. But he probably drew it like 30 minutes ago. He's like, let's just make a new edition.
I got it in my cart.
Buy like 50 of them.
Buy it?
Ah, crap! It just sold out.
You should have bought like 30 of them, so then you don't pay for them, and then they gotta put them back in, and then you get banned. Yeah, I wasn't gonna buy it. This one's gonna have crooked tits too, so.
No.
More than likely have crooked tits. Well, anyway, but yeah, I haven't seen any new movies. I've been
I saw Reed Redemption that Molly was over a few weeks ago, and saw it twice in 1 week or something like that. It's good. It was, I mean. You know, it's a traditional martial art, you know, it's, you know, an hour and 50 minutes of fighting, basically. It was okay. I mean, it was something that, I'm kind of glad I probably didn't pay full price in the theater for it. You know, it was enjoyable, but I think I've seen better martial art films. You know, the story was traditional. It's kind of like, you know, any kind of those films you've seen it, you know, before, but... You know, worth checking out, but yeah, definitely a rental. Not twice in the theater paying for it. That seems a little bit extreme, but
I have an amendment to the movie is with Julianne Moore, and it's called The Forgotten, and it's terrible.
Oh.
IMDb gave it a 5.7.
Wah,
wah, wah. Yeah. So anyway, aliens kidnapper kid. That's about it. That's awesome. The whole. Yeah, so you don't need to watch it now.
I didn't plan on it.
Don't lie.
Yeah.
Damn it, it was next in my queue.
I know you just moved it up to number one.
Screw you, Jared. You ruined the movie for me.
There's another movie you should watch, though, if you haven't seen it, called Man on a Wire.
I've heard of it. Don't know.
It's pretty cool. It's a documentary about this dude who strung up a tightrope between the Twin Towers and walked between the Twin Towers.
Yeah, I saw that. That's crazy cool.
It was awesome. And it happened like 30 years ago or something. And yeah, it's pretty cool. And so I just thought of that. I was going to say The Forgotten is right behind Man on a Wire, but that's probably true because Man on a Wire is cool. And Forgotten should be number two.
Yeah.
All right. It has been moved.
Yes. Nice.
Other movie I saw the Snow White and the Huntsman this past weekend.
That looks pretty decent.
It was all right. It was worth a watch. It was shot very well. It looked like the computer graphics and the scenes and stuff looked very nice. But the story seemed to drag on a bit, and it's pretty... You can guess what happens.
Does Thor take his shirt off?
What's that?
Does Thor take his shirt off?
He does not.
Oh, see that.
So I guess Jeff's not going to go see it.
I bet you were totally geeking out about Kristen Stewart.
I don't like Kristen Stewart. I don't think she's pretty at all. Charlize Theron.
No, I bet you're like, because you love Twilight. I mean, that's what you told me a couple days ago. You're like, oh, I love Twilight so much. So you probably like that, right?
Yeah, I guess so.
No. Because you wasted so much of Comic-Con last year waiting in that line for 3 days.
I know. Yeah. It pissed me off because I couldn't get into the movie. Because everybody was camping out before me. I couldn't fly out to San Diego soon enough.
I know. It sucked. I mean, I wanted to hang out. You're like, dude, I'm here for a reason. Twilight, step off.
I ain't going to the bar with you. I gotta watch Twilight.
Well, you get to go with this. Isn't the second movie, there's gonna be a panel at Comic-Con this year for the second one, so you can at least, you know, do that again.
I just realized this the other day, maybe it was yesterday, it's not gonna just be Twilight, it's going to be Hunger Games as well.
Oh, man. I mean, I like the book, and I like the first movie, but I definitely sort of could foresee the Hunger Games becoming the new Twilight. So they're there's gonna be a battle royale at Comic-Con of the lines. They should line the lines up right next to each other in one giant straight line and just let Twilight and like Hunger Games just freaking battle it out.
People aren't gonna know which one to go to. There's gonna be brain aneurysms left and right.
You're gonna have to stand in one line and I'll stand in the other line.
And then we can FaceTime during the different panels.
Yes. Yeah. That's exactly what I was about to say.
Yeah. I thought that Hunger Games was gonna replace Twilight, but this year they're both gonna be there. I'm guessing. That's what I'm assuming.
An overlap.
Yeah. So maybe it's good that you're not coming, Jared, because you don't have to deal with that crap.
I know.
And I hate Kristen Stewart.
I sort of hate her too. I liked her in Into the Wild. Yeah. She was like a 15-year-old skank,
mm-hmm.
hippie skank. And then what else? I think I just like her when she's a skank because that movie Adventureland was kind of cool with Jesse Eisenberg.
I thought that was an okay movie.
I'm easily entertained and
yeah. It was an entertaining movie.
But she was also a skank in that movie. She was banging Ryan Reynolds.
Nice.
And he was married, and so once she went vampire, I was like, fuck this. This is stupid.
But Charlize Theron, though, she was hot in the movie.
Yeah, she was the queen, wasn't she?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's something Ali Moss said about Prometheus, and he's like, he said a bunch of stuff, and he's like, yeah, and then there's Charlize Theron in a tight outfit, so then there's that. So, she's, I mean, I guess if it's terrible, that there's that, but I doubt it will be terrible. And I'm a big fan of Noomi Rapace. She was in the Dragon Tattoo version, the Swedish version. She was actually Elizabeth Salander in the original movies.
Mm-hmm.
She's in Prometheus as well. She plays one of the archaeologist, I think, and I think she's I like her a lot. I liked her in her goth stage in the tattoo movies.
I didn't watch the American versions.
That's not the American versions.
Oh.
Yeah. It's the Swedish versions. What's her name? Rooney Mara plays Elizabeth Salander in the American version. And the Noomi Rapace is definitely more attractive. I mean, they sort of make her all badass and stuff, but the chick in the American versions is a little bit too boyish.
Yeah. Huck G just sent out a newsletter.
Yeah, I might actually get that. The new lava guy. I passed on the first one, which was tempting. The second one was crap.
Yeah.
But this one kind of intrigues me. I like the kind of black with lava pouring out of his mouth and eyes and stuff.
It looks like it's my favorite of the colorways. I'm not going to buy it though.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is cool. That clear one. Ha! Crystal Skull!
Yeah, I know. I saw that one. It's like, yeah.
Oh man, again, clear resin doesn't do it for me. Yeah, that one's pretty cool. Are these ones open runs too?
Yeah.
I haven't read the whole thing yet, but yeah.
There's too much to read.
It's on sale for like 24 hours, I think.
Yeah.
So yeah, I might pick up that, so I'll have to think about that one.
We're going to wrap it up here, guys. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/nerdlink. Send us feedback if you want to be on the show, if you want to be interviewed as an artist or a collector at nerdlink@gmail.com. Check out our blog. We're going to have some Comic-Con stuff coming up since it's just about a month away. We'll have, once exclusives are announced, we'll post them up on the website at nerdlink.com. But other than that, you guys got any last words?
No, I'm good.
Nope, right. I'm good.
We will see you next time.
Sounds good.
It's a learning Take experience.
You can count on it.